I want to come from the book of Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, if you need some help finding it, it's in the table of contents if you have a physical Bible. And Matthew chapter 9. In the meantime, we're continuing the series. So, what's the plan? What's the plan? So, what's the plan? Again, if you're in the table of contents, you go to the New Testament section. It's the book of Matthew. That's the first book. Turn to that page number. And then go to chapter 9, that's the big number 9. And then once you're there, turn to verse 35, that's a small number. Start at 35, that's a small number. Again, what is this series about? Last series was talking about us thinking differently, casting the net on the right side. And it's great that we have to hear how to think differently, but St. John, we're looking around and we want growth. We want growth here at this church. So some of you might be wondering, okay, so what's the plan? And on the first Sunday, we talked about growth through discipleship. Again, Matthew chapter 9, if you're still looking, Matthew chapter 9. We talked about growth through discipleship. We talked about what the Great Commission actually is. And we said that it's making disciples and remembering that Jesus is with us. And that Jesus has commissioned us to the disciple cycle. He told us to do it and he will help us do it. And so then we just have to go out and do it. Then last week, we talked about growth through relationship. And we talked about what a growing church does. We listed a lot of things, but the important thing was that we did it together. And I tried to mention that 100% of growth comes from new members. We need to have good relationships with them. And I ended with, you know, a little smirk of a point, said, if we like them, he'll add them. And now we're on today's installment on chapter 9 of Matthew. And then we are going to be starting actually at verse 37. When you have it, say amen. Now, we're going to be scripture hopping a little bit. Okay, so again, if it's hard, if you're not as fluent with where the Bible is, you might want to start looking at your table of contents for the book of Mark. That's going to be the next book in the New Testament, Matthew and Mark, because we're going to eventually turn there. So I'm just letting you know, because there's a lot to cover, and I'm going to try to be as efficient as the Lord allows me to be. And we are going to cover both Matthew, and there's a couple other points I'm going to make, but Matthew and then Mark, and then back to Matthew. Matthew 9, 37 through 38, out of Christian Standard Bible Version, reads as follows. It says, then he said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, or some versions might read plentiful. But the laborers or the workers are few. Verse 38. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. And I would like to come from the following subject: growth through stewardship. growth through stewardship. You may be seated. This week, some of you may not know, but I was out of town. I had to fly out to go do my day job, and I was there all week, and I flew back yesterday. Now, I ended up with a window seat this time. Somebody said amen. I ended up with a window seat, and I just happened to be at a spot where I saw the workers taking out the luggage and putting it on the conveyor belt that goes into the airplane. So I kind of watched them. There was somebody taking out the luggage. There was somebody, you know, driving, you know, the vehicle around. There's somebody moving the terminal. There's, you know, then you look in the plane. There's the pilot. There's actually a few pilots on this plane. And then there were the stewardesses. And, you know, then even before getting in the plane, there's, you know, the people that kind of call out the plane. If you've ever flown, you know that in order for this to work, there's a lot of people that have to work together. Okay? And, you know, the Lord used that as an illustration for me. He reminded me, he said, the person that created American Airlines, this is what I flew, the person that created American Airlines could not do all of this themselves. That's why these people had jobs. They were to be stewards of the positions they were at. I did not see the CEO of American Airlines telling everybody and pulling everybody on what to do. These people had to take ownership of their jobs. And many of you, if you're like me, working for a company, you know that at some point you just need to do your own job. But if the owner, and this is the point I'm trying to get to, is if the owner wanted to expand American Airlines beyond that initial one flight or two flights or one plane or two planes, that owner had to have more people working. It couldn't just rely on them, right? Jesus was the same way. For Jesus to reach his goal of ministering to the whole world, he had to bring in more workers or more laborers. And so the question I want to answer today is this. When we talk about growing St. John, I think most of us, you know, especially us members, have an idea of the fact that we need more laborers. We need more workers, right? But some of us are looking to the left. This is y'all left. Some of us are looking to the right. Some of us are looking up and down. And we're asking, Pastor Brooks, who? Who is going to help us grow St. John? No offense to anybody else here, but who's going to do it? Some of us are like, Pastor, I thought that was you. You're supposed to be doing all the growth. Who's going to help us? Who's going to do this? And we get this because when we read passages like Matthew 9, we get excited. Let's read it. Verse 35, it says, Jesus continued, talking about when Jesus was on this earth. Jesus continued going around to all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness. By the way, this is what he was doing by himself. Okay? He had disciples, he had people, but the actual work he was doing by himself. Verse 36, when he saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dejected like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, and this is the part we like, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. We've gotten that far in our Bible reading. We've covered that in Sunday school. But again, Pastor James, who? Who are these laborers you speak of? Who are these workers that are going to come out and grow this church? Who are the people that are going to help with the mission and help with Sunday school and help with Bible study and help with the ushers and help with the music? Who? Who? Now, again, I want to bring this point up because Jesus got these disciples together because he wanted to grow. Jesus wanted to do his work, what they call at scale. Jesus was doing this all by himself. He was doing it. He was doing a good job, obviously. But Jesus had a lot to do with a very short amount of time. That is why he called his disciples. Again, Jesus has this entire ministry. He's going around teaching and preaching and healing. And he sees these crowds and he feels a compassion for them. Jesus has always felt compassion for them. But look, this is where Jesus starts to scale. He starts to go bigger, right? Again, he says, verse 37, again, the harvest is abundant. There's a whole lot of work out there, right? It's a whole lot of work. But there's not a lot of workers. So, therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. Now, how many of y'all got physical and electronic Bibles? How many of y'all got some, right? Y'all notice that when you read that verse 38, that is the last verse of the chapter. You want to know an advanced Bible reading trick? You ready for this? Stop thinking about chapters and verses. Stop thinking about chapters and verses. Why? And I can get into the historical reason. First of all, when this was written, they didn't have chapters or verses. It was added later to help us out, okay, to find kind of where we are. But sometimes, because we have chapter divisions and verse divisions, we misread things. What do I mean? Many of us think that is the end. But if you read verse 1, it says what? Summoning his 12 disciples. He gave them authority over unclean spirits to drive them out and to heal every disease and sickness. And then he goes on and names the 12 disciples. Now, isn't that interesting? Jesus says, he's looking at these crowds. There's a whole lot of people that want him. He can heal them all, but he's saying, man, there's a lot of work out here. But there's just not a lot of people. So he's talking to his disciples, pray to the Lord of the harvest that he sends forth workers into his harvest. And the immediate next verse, right after he mentions it, he summons his 12 disciples to do literally the work he was talking about. Y'all see that? We're supposed to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest. That's what Jesus was saying. And then, right after that, he gets the disciples to go out into the harvest. Let me say it this way. The disciples were the answer to the prayer. Y'all see that? You know, once you get over the chapter divisions and all that. The disciples were the answer to the prayer that Jesus was telling them, the disciples, to pray. You realize that Jesus did not tell his disciples that, and then he waited around till more people joined, and then he sent them out. Jesus didn't need to call more disciples. He sent forth who he had. Are we still in the same Bible, right? That's what it says in verse 38. He sent them out into the harvest. Why do I say that? It's because some of us, we might misread this and think that sending forth involves hiring. But assignments are given to employees. If I'm a boss, I can't tell somebody who's not working for me what to do. I tell the people who are working for me what to do. Jesus is talking to people, to disciples that he already has. That we ought to pray for people to go in the harvest. But then, in the disciple sense, you are the answer to the prayer. What do I mean? Where are you going with this? St. John, pray for workers, but be ready. You might be the answer to that prayer. We may not be waiting for a whole lot of young adults to join the church and then we'll do certain things. Maybe God is going to do something with the people sitting in your seat right now. What am I trying to say? Let's get to the point. Who is going to help us grow St. John? The current members of St. John. The current members of St. John are going to help us grow St. John. And I do mean members. We have guests that come through and you know, participate in our services and whatnot. Thank God for the guests. We, of course, pray that guests would become members. But the work is for the members. Because some of us get mad because the guests ain't joined and they should be doing stuff in this church. The work is for the employees. The laborers that God already has working at St. John. But here's something else. Again, I got to keep moving. Jesus called 12 disciples, right? Listed them by name, right? But you know, Jesus had far more than 12 disciples. Did y'all catch that part? He just chose to use these 12. Here's a similar account, Mark 3. Mark chapter 3, verses 10 through 15. It says, since he had healed many, talking about Jesus, since Jesus had healed many, all who had diseases were pressing toward him to touch him. Whenever the unclean spirit saw him, they fell down before him and cried out, "You are the Son of God." And he would strongly warn them not to make him known, right? Same ministry, right? Verse 13, Jesus went up the mountain and did this, summoned those he wanted, and they came to him. And then he appointed 12 out of that group of disciples, out of that crowd of disciples. He appointed 12, whom he also named apostles, to be with him, to send them out to preach and to have authority to drive out demons. Again, exactly what Jesus was doing. Jesus had more than 12 disciples. He had a whole bunch. Matter of fact, later on in Luke, there's 70 or 72 disciples that he sends out to go do the same type of work to other groups of people. Jesus got a crowd, y'all. It's not just him and his friends. Jesus got a following. So, why not use all of them? Why only choose 12 at this time to do this? Why not use more to do more? Well, simple, because he didn't need to. Y'all still with me? I'm trying not to be too spiritual, okay? He didn't need a whole bunch of people to do what he wanted them, those 12, to do. He just needed those 12 to do what he wanted those 12 to do. Y'all with me? I say that because some of us here at St. John are involved in a whole lot of St. John. And we sometimes get upset at the people who are members of St. John and ain't involved in anything St. John. Yeah, it's getting real uncomfortable. And so I want to talk to y'all that feel like you ain't getting no help. Don't be discouraged by the lack of help. God has who he wants. He'll call the others as needed. Not everybody's in the mission. But somehow, some way, things are getting done. Not everybody's in Sunday school. Not everybody's in Bible study. Not everybody is an usher, but somehow, some way, God is getting things done with the few that he has. Now, he's going to call more as he sees fit. But for the few of us that are doing, quote unquote, all the work, don't be discouraged. Keep going. Because God knows you, quote unquote, don't have no help. But God also knows you don't need no help because you already have help. Because your help comes from the Lord. And from those couple other people who are also serving with you that you just forgot about. So who's going to help us grow St. John, Pastor Brooks? The members that God wants to use. I am saying this as a pastor. I would love for every single member of St. John to be actively engaged in the growth of this church. And I am also saying this, having almost 8 years of experience as pastor and having been here my whole life, it don't always happen. Some people will help out, and some ain't. It is what it is. Some people will help out later on, but just not now. Y'all with me on that? Amen. The members that God wants us to use. Amen. 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 For those of you that were online, we just had a nice little break. with one of our young ones coming in the church and just coming in and you know, walking around. Yeah. And the door, you know, is eventually going to get closed at some point. What people are missing right now is we're literally talking about the work that the church needs to do. Yeah. We're literally preaching about the work that the church needs to do right now. We're having a sermon on it right now, and we just missed it. That wasn't funny, Pastor. Keep going. All right. The book of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 24 through 27. Now, some of us may remember that this is talking about stewardship. Okay, Matthew 25. And this is actually framed in a discussion when Jesus is talking about what the kingdom of God is like. And then he starts with the 10 virgins, with the lamps. And then he goes to this. And then he says that, the master goes away and leaves talents, which is a sum of money, a large sum of money, with a year's worth of salary. That's actually what a talent is. Is a year's worth of salary with their workers. And one man had five talents, one laborer, one steward had five talents and made five more. And, the others had their numbers and they doubled their numbers. But then something interesting about verse 24 happens, which is kind of the point of what Jesus is telling this parable about. He says, the man, verse 24, the man who had received one talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You're a harsh man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. Now, most of us are not farmers in here, but let me tell you this. You can't get oranges if there is no orange tree. Y'all with me? You can't get grapes if there's no grape vine. So basically what he's saying is, you want us to do something impossible. you asking me to collect something that you didn't even plant. Master, you are unreasonable. Stay with me. You harsh. Verse 25. Again, Matthew chapter 25, verse 25. So I was afraid and did what? Went off and hid your talent in the ground. See? You have what's yours. Here's your money. His master replied to him, you evil, lazy servant. Oh, boy. If you, this is the master using that reverse psychology. If you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers. Wait a minute, they had banks back then? Yes, they did. And I would have received my money back with interest when I return. What? They was doing interest back then too? Sure was. Now, this story, I'm embarrassed to say, confused me until basically when I started studying for this. It's always been one of those parables that, I couldn't really wrap my head around. And I'm like, Lord, why is the master so upset? I mean, like, I understand, he didn't grow the money, but why are you so mad? And then he said, well, imagine that was your job. Because he's a steward, right? He gets paid to do this, right? Hello? If this was your job and the CEO told you to go invest the money to go multiply the money. Other people are doing it that got way more than you, way more responsibility than you, but they still got two arms and two legs and got one mouth and two ears, just like you. They doing it, but here you say, you expect the impossible from me, Mr. CEO, so I just didn't do it. That's gonna get you fired. And that's what happened. The lazy steward got paid and didn't do nothing. That's gonna get you fired from any job. If you just sitting around and doing nothing. What if it didn't work out? Listen, it's better to try and fall than to not try at all. Right? And please understand that God is not getting upset if we try and don't succeed as much as we want to. We're putting forth the effort and it just doesn't pan out. My dad once told me, he said the opposite of success is not failure, it's quitting. God gets upset when we quit. That's what makes him upset. Is when we quit. He gets upset when we quit. And just remember, just like God can hire us, he can fire us too. I don't like where this sermon's going. Do you know how tempting and easy it would be for me to say, you know what? I tried. Ain't nothing working out. I'ma just collect a check. Preach to y'all, get y'all happy and whatnot. You know, maybe it'll help, maybe not. We'll see. As long as I get that envelope. There's a lot of pastors that are doing exactly that. Some of us have positions in the church or with church-affiliated organizations, and we have quit. No, it doesn't mean you've given up your title and stopped. There's something called quiet quitting. You know, you still got the title. Still got the title, right? Because you got to have the title, right? Some of us still getting paid because, you know, got to get paid. But as far as making any real effort to grow in St. John, got things to do. And I'm telling you, just like God can hire you, he can fire you. But there's something else. Again, I'm trying to wrap it up. See, there was the accusation that this laborer made, that the master, again, Matthew 25, verse 24, reaping where you haven't sown. You harsh, Lord. You harsh. Reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. You want me to make something out of nothing. You asking for something that's literally impossible. Got other workers doing the same thing with more responsibility, more pressure. For those of you that have had, you know, responsibilities in work, when you have more responsibilities, there is more pressure. But they seem to be doing well with it. But you, complaining, talking about the job can't be done, it's impossible, when there's people literally that you're working with that are doing the job. Listen, God is not unfair. He ain't gonna tell us to do something that we can't do. Can we start there? God is not going to tell you to do something that you cannot do. That would be unfair. And so that's part of the problem, was this master was saying, this laborer was saying, you're unfair, God. You're unfair. But what we ought to do is, when we have all these complaints, we should turn these complaints into contributions. Oh boy. The master said, if I'm that unfair and I expected you to do something impossible, here's what you could have done. All that complaining about you expect me to reap and all, here's what you could have done. You could have taken what you already had, verse 27, and just put it in the bank. Let it accrue at its, 0.05%. All you had to do, at minimum, if you thought I was doing, at minimum, all you had to do was take this money, go to Bank of America, put it in. That's it. That's it. That's all you had to do. It didn't require a whole lot of talent. Didn't require a whole lot of expertise. It didn't require you having a whole lot of money to start with. It didn't require you being born into a good family that taught you good morals and taught you or educated you so you could get a degree. It didn't require all that. You could have just put it in the bank and let the bank do your work. Why am I saying this? Some of us just complain about what's not getting done at St. John. Ain't contributing. Ain't helping. Complaining. And remember, when complainers always have very good reasons why they have to only complain, right? Well, I don't know how to do it. Or I'm not. Maybe I'm too old. Maybe I'm too young to do what you're asking me to do, Lord. I'm too broke to do what you want me to do, Lord. I don't speak well enough, Lord. I'm not available enough, Lord. I got things going on, you know, the family and the job. I got too much going on, Lord. I'm not the head of so-and-so, Lord. I'm not in that department, Lord. So, at the very minimum, if you can't do it, you telling the Lord you can't do it, at least support others who are doing your job. There are ways that you can help St. John grow, assuming that's what you want. And see, that's the problem. Because if that servant really wanted the master's money to grow at all, the bank is easy. Depending on what time of the day, you can be in and out in under 30 minutes. And if you do online banking, it could have been easier. But instead of spending half an hour to drive three blocks and make a left, we complain. Instead of saying, well, you know what? I can't do it because I'm making up my own excuses, but there's sister so-and-so who's volunteering to do it. I will help you out however you can. We don't want to do that. All we'd rather do is sit back and complain about sister so-and-so because they ain't doing the job right. But then it's like, well, can you help them? No, I'm not available. Do you want the church to grow? Is that what you want? You don't want to volunteer. You got people who are willing to volunteer. Don't know much about it. Might make some errors, but willing to volunteer. And we literally stay here asking, can somebody mentor them? Crickets. You don't have to lift nothing. You don't even have to pay nothing. All you need to do is know how to use your phone if they have some questions. You ain't even got to be at the event. But then brother so-and-so does it and does something wrong. Now see, that's what's wrong with these young people. See, that's why the old folks need to just let us do things. Who's going to help us grow St. John? Members that contribute instead of complain. I need to end the sermon because it's gone way too long for some of us. Listen. There is one operative word that has come up, and that word is members. The current members of St. John are going to help us grow. The members, out of the members, because not everybody wants to help, the members that God wants to use are going to help St. John grow. The members that contribute instead of complain are going to help us grow. Members. That's who we're looking for to help St. John grow. Again, I'm trying to explain what the plan is. See, we know that Jesus came to redeem this world. We know that he was born through the Virgin Mary, lived for 33 years, died on the Roman cross for our sins, and was buried on the third day, rose with all power in his hand. We know this. This same Jesus, the same one who rose from the dead, the same one who is Lord of all, and specifically for this sermon, the Lord of the harvest, the same Jesus who was preaching and teaching and driving out demons and told us to do the same, the same Jesus said in John 14:12, he said, truly I tell you, the one who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And look at this. I didn't even understand this for a long time. He said, and he, the disciple, he, the churchgoer, he will do even greater works than these. Because I am going to the Father. What Jesus was saying is that they're not going to, you know, it's not that you're going to heal better or minister better. But what Jesus is saying is that you're going to cover more ground. And that's what happened with the disciples is that they covered way more ground than Jesus could in his humanity in 3 years. Jesus did all the redeeming by himself, but Jesus did not do all the reaching by himself. St. John, that's why we're here. And everybody want to look around at who's not here, right? Count who's here, here and online. If you've noticed, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we already have more than 12 disciples. Plus, we have the same God that the disciples had. We have the same Jesus that started this whole thing. So we're better off than they are. End the sermon. We are the answer to our own prayer for growth. Okay? And I'm going to end with this point. And to those who are not members of any church, all right? To those who are not members of any church, just know that the Lord is still hiring. Okay? I just want to be clear. He's still hiring, all right? But I just want to put a note out there for that. He doesn't need more complainers. And that's part of the reason he's still hiring. If the whole church, St. John included, but if the whole church was doing what we were supposed to do, Jesus would have been back. Gospel would have went out to the whole world, you know, that whole thing. Jesus would have been back. But we got a whole lot of folk talking about the church from within and without. Got a whole lot of Christians leaving the church, complaining about the church, complaining about what God ain't doing. When in fact you could have stayed in a church or gone to a different church and done.